For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Meringue Tang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All fellows with monkey sounds in there called good.
The old Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon. Hey, welcome in. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Danny and Dusty with you. How's everybody doing today?
Days are just a concept.
Oh, time is a flat circle? Is that what we're going with here?
No.
I like it.
Getting sick is a choice.
See, getting sick is a choice. I don't know if I believe that.
I wonder if Lanning's wife would say that that's not how it actually works.
I'm going to come cook on your grill.
Yeah.
That's another language.
Because we all know, our wives know our secrets about us when we're sick.
Mm.
Because when I'm sick, I'm a giant baby.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, I'm the biggest baby. My wife tells me so all the time. Oh, yeah.
Do not like it. Leave me alone. I'm going to bed.
Yeah. Mm.
I've had to toughen up.
Yeah.
I've had to toughen up. Y'all aren't married to a Russian, apparently.
No, I'm married to one of Swedish ancestry, mainly.
All right. All right. Yeah.
Well, in Idaho, but...
Yeah. I love that people honestly, like, believe that my wife is, like, from Russia. She's not. She's from Eugene.
Same thing.
Well, yeah, it's like saying, I'm from Italy. I'm not from Italy.
It's a Russian nesting doll.
Yeah, those genes, they run deep, though. It is a lot of toughen up buttercup in my house, and I've had to adapt to it. I was with you guys. It was like I was a finely tuned machine, and any dust that got into my circuit board, I would shut down. I've had to push through and power through. I get a lot of the, we don't got time for that. And we don't. So we're on to the next play. We're on to Cincinnati in my house.
Yeah. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Mm-mm. So I sympathize with that. Maybe Lanning's got a little bit of that in him.
Yeah, I was saying we need the investigative reporting done there.
Maybe she has toughened him up, and now sickness, being sick, is a choice. You know,
maybe he was a baby, and she was the one that was like, no, being sick is a choice. I would love for that to be the plot twist. She's the one where that originates.
Could happen. Happened in my house. Happened in my house. I can tell you that, guys, that much for sure. Yeah, but it's about that time of the year. People starting to get sick all over the place, you know?
Yeah.
Kids.
Yes, exactly. The kids.
Back, that's where it all starts.
Back in their bacteria.
Even
traps.
If you don't have kids, it starts with kids because the people that you work with bring their germs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a cycle, man.
True that.
Yep. All right. Yeah. Great text on the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. Lanning is either a nut job because is either a liar or a nut job because anyone with children knows getting sick is absolutely not a choice. Yeah.
Well,
I think he's saying, like, it's how you let it affect you is the choice there. Mm-hmm. Right? Right?
Yes.
That's what it is. But I don't know.
I feel like also as
do you think You think he gets a flu shot every year? Because there's nothing you, like, I'm sorry. When you get the when you get it coming both ends, there's nothing you can do about that. There's no choices that you're making. Mm-mm. You're not going to strap on a Depends and go out and coach some football. No, you're going to be praying to the porcelain gods just like everybody.
Especially if you're throwing in Zins every now and then. That speeds things up. I'm just saying.
Well, I feel like being a, you know, head football coach at a major, major college program, you have a certain level of sicko in you.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. I think you do. I think that is your sickness. You are constantly ill with football. You know, that's you don't have any room for any more viruses.
Yeah,
you've been infected with the footballs. Oh man,
let's get down with the sickness.
Mm. All right. Well, oh, we got another texter says Lanning said in the interview that his wife hated his comments. Oh, so maybe she believes in sickness. He doesn't.
Mm.
Well,
there you go.
He would like my wife's thoughts on this, then.
I wondered about his wife's thoughts then on cooking on somebody else's grill.
No, I think that that is a very true thing, though, because there is nothing more emasculating than when someone comes and they start cooking on your grill. You know, like they're like, you test step aside. No, you can't. That is something that you just can't have. And you know what? You do have to have some level of awareness, though. If somebody that is a master of the grill is coming over, you need to just step your game up and make sure that you don't fail that person.
Yeah, I have no problem stepping aside because I'll let you in on a little secret. My wife is the grill master at our house, and I have no problem admitting that.
Hmm.
Yeah. She likes to cook on the grill.
Hey.
I go drink beer. Or Tito's.
I do both.
Yeah.
Actually, I do all three.
There you go.
And I go sit and watch some foosball or hoops or what have you.
Yeah, you get living that good life, right? Russ, over there.
I know. I'm trying to think. And I don't say this negatively. I can't think of the last time my wife cooked for us. Because I cook in the house.
Mm, we share those duties.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. It's a 50-50 split, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I like cooking, though.
Yeah, no, I
enjoy it.
She grew up in a house where, I think we've talked about this, very, very plain food.
Gosh.
Very plain food. I mean, my father-in-law owned a sandwich spot, so they a lot of sandwiches.
Just a lot
of sandwiches, a lot of salads, just very, very simple.
That doesn't mean it's plain. A sandwich doesn't have to be plain.
Well, I mean, you know, we weren't adventuring outside. Like, my wife did not have, when we were dating, I made her, like, from scratch carne asada. You know, let it marinate for a couple days and just absolutely tremendous all the way across. And she was like, oh my God, you can do this? I was like, She's like, I just never really grew up with food like this. And so didn't really grow up, you know, not a lot of ethnic food.
Well,
outside of pasta. Because again, my family, my wife's family, super Italian. And even then, they kept it in a very strict lane of pasta.
Well, but the pasta doesn't have to be simple and basic.
No.
One of my signature dishes is a chicken scallopini.
Okay, there you go.
Which is around the piccata family and such. You got some capers. You get some chicken in there, lemon and prosciutto.
Did swag just take your body over?
Yeah,
like
almost.
That room I'm over there. That's like a swag dish too. Like, well,
and then the biggest thing about the chicken scallopini is the finishing like lemon butter sauce that literally takes. You got some lemon and some white wine, and it literally takes a pound of butter. That you stir in and mix in like a tablespoon at a time.
Little artery clogger there.
Oh yeah, it's fantastic. Well,
let's go.
I've seen some vodka sauce that it does the exact same thing. And I'm like, oh, there's an entire brick of butter there. That's impressive. Also, somebody on the Vancouver Ford text line says, Danny's probably got 30 boxes of Hamburger Helper on the shelf. Never, ever, ever find Hamburger Helper in my house.
Oh, you'll find him in our house.
I hate it. So much.
My wife has some
favorite ones. I love Hamburger Helper, dude. Viscerally.
My wife's favorite is the Italian shells and cheese, but mine, and I can't find it anywhere anymore, is the cheesy hash browns.
Yeah, those were good. Yeah. I'm just
no.
We'll mix it in like once every, I don't know, 6 months. Yeah, we'll do a Hamburger Helper, homemade cornbread, Hamburger Helper.
Sometimes you got to do an easy meal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hamburger Helper. Mm. It's a good safety valve. It's a good safety valve to have.
That is
30 boxes is aggressive.
Also, that is aggressive.
Any boxes for me is aggressive. Yeah. That's not an exit I'm taking on the freeway.
Oh, well, look, I'll even go with the old boxed scallop potatoes, the Betty Crockers. Those are that takes me back to my childhood.
Yeah.
Love them. Love them.
I never
boxed, love them.
Boxed potatoes?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. They're dude, don't look.
I'm not looking down.
You are looking down your nose at me.
I'm not.
Tremendous.
I'm just thinking, like, have I ever seen that?
Oh, they're on.
Yeah,
they're on literally. They're on a shelf in literally every grocery store.
Yeah, they're like dehydrated potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I probably stocked them. I mean, I literally managed a grocery store as a stock manager.
Well, then you absolutely have seen that.
It's just not in my head for some reason. That's what I'm
saying. I've never seen Fruity Pebbles before.
Yeah, no, seen all of the cereals. My God.
I love Fruity Pebbles. I hate it when the roof of your mouth is done. Fruity Pebbles, Cap'n Crunch, they both get you, where you're just like, you just eat it and you're like, damn it, did it again.
I mean, I was Cap'n a Cocoa Crunch Pebbles, the, Cocoa Krispies kind of guy, but yeah. But no, I agree with you on the Cap'n Crunch. That's a mouth murderer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is a torture device.
Yeah.
Cap'n Crunch
is why CTC reigns supreme, because it's delicious and it doesn't destroy the roof of your mouth.
Cap'n Crunch does the same thing to your roof of your mouth that Legos do to your feet.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's the same
absolutely.
Thing.
Absolutely. We used to go the scallop potatoes, though. We would mix those in and then the bags of mashed potatoes in college. Because Albertsons had like Meat Monday, where meat was on sale.
Mm-hmm.
So we go down
all
there.
All the stuff they had to get rid of.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'd go down on the Meat Monday.
You best eat it tonight.
And we would. We'd get some steaks, some of those boxed potatoes, whip up like a good meal.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, we'd have, like, spaghetti on Tuesdays because you got the ground beef that you got on Meat Monday. You got to eat it.
Because it's not going to be good tomorrow.
Yeah. I had a buddy who would drink, I'm not kidding, if he had spaghetti, he would drink, like, a gallon of milk.
Ugh.
Over the course of dinner. Like, he would drink, like...
That literally made me gag.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds it like was an like, odd combo.
Yeah, but it was...
I mean, I hate milk so much, but also, like, the idea of mixing those two things together in my stomach sounds like a toxic bomb.
Oh, I enjoy a nice, tall, cold glass of milk.
Oh, I do not. I mean,
I like
to be fair,
milk. I like
I don't
milk.
Like milk with anything, but the idea of milk and pasta just...
That was his jam.
Yeah. I had this talk with Dirt and Sprague this morning when I got in, because listening to, as Sook says, my favorite morning show, in their mail sack segment, they asked about what they would like for Christmas. And Sprague's. Gosh.
What are we doing thinking about Christmas? It's not even Halloween yet.
Well, I'm just saying it was part of the mail sack segment. It was a texter question.
Okay.
And so Sprague said basically he wanted a nut milker.
Of what?
Yeah. He wanted a nut milker.
Oh, so he can make like almond milk and okay.
Mm-hmm. And then I asked him if he wanted a prostate milker too. But...
Wow. YouTube party animals are already partying. Brandon says Cinnamon Toast Crunch is goated, always my number one.
Nope.
I don't mess with Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Me either. My kids love it. We have the Cinnamon Toast. They have a Cinnamon Toast Crunch spread, like in the peanut butter aisle.
Yeah. I did not. I have had a bad experience with cinnamon. This is a weird thing.
Is this like your pickles thing?
No. Okay. Well, yeah, kind of.
Okay.
I had like a, it's weird, because I had a Taco Bell burrito. Something happened with me. I was a kid.
That's weird. I don't know how that happened.
I threw up in the cereal aisle of the grocery store. Right in front of the Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I have not been able to eat Cinnamon Toast Crunch since then. But burritos I'm fine with. Cinnamon Toast Crunch, nope.
Sick by osmosis?
Yeah. I remember it vividly.
That's
like I was
so wild.
We were at the Safeway on 185th.
Oh, I know that one.
Yeah.
Right by Rite Aid.
Right next to your
and the
wife's.
Cold Stone.
No, right next to your wife's bus bench.
Yep, yeah. It's right there.
And I was riding underneath the cart. It was like a brand new store. It had just opened. And I was riding underneath the cart. And I just went, bleh! And it was, I remember my dad go, whoa. And I haven't been able to have Cinnamon Toast Crunch since.
By the way, if you want to buy a house, email my wife, agentrust@gmail.com.
That was, Man. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Cocoa Krispies, Frosted Flakes.
Mm-hmm.
Those were my go-tos.
Yeah. Dang. All right. So I would like to get down on Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Just can't do it.
Mm.
In theory, sounds great.
Yeah. We're going to have to like just force feed you.
No.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Not going to happen.
Mm-mm. Until you actually get sick and then you have a real reason for it.
Nope.
Is that like the episode of that 70s show where Eric got caught smoking cigarettes and Red and Kitty made him smoke an entire pack until he got sick?
Ugh.
So Marv Red's in the 70s probably hit pretty hard.
Yeah, it was different. I mean, you got all the cancer.
That's why in the 90s I went with the Dave's Lights. Mm. It was like 30 cents a pack cheaper than the Camel Lights.
All right. Well, wow. This one got away from us. Don't know how, but actually I do.
It just happens every yep. day.
All right. We got a lot that we need to get to today, so let's get this show on the road, shall we? A lot of sports happened yesterday. Mm.
The sports equinox.
It was the sports equinox.
Every major sport was in action.
We've got...
New York got hosed.
We got college football. Dan Lanning spoke on Michigan last night. We have some audio clips on the head coach from the Oregon Ducks and what he had to say ahead of a trip to the Big House. Heisman Trophy. Where is this Heisman race going? It is an interesting board in Vegas right now. And we got a lot of World Series. Major League Baseball is wrapping up.
Big fan of the not Yankees.
And the NFL trade deadline is heating up too. But let's start with where were your eyes on Sports Equinox Night? You had Sports Equinox Night. You have NFL, MLB, NBA, mm-hmm. NHL, all in action, same night. Danny Dusty on the Fan. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Equinox Night and plenty to watch, especially here locally, because, you know, the Sports Equinox is an interesting one when you don't have very many dogs in the fight. We had Monday Night Football, Steelers, Giants.
Ugh.
Yeah, right? And it lived up to it.
Mm-hmm.
The New York Football Giants, whoa, Nelly.
They're so bad. You know what's interesting about them right now is the biggest storyline coming out about them is that they will not bench Daniel Jones. And it has been the story coming out of the last three games.
Or is it they also made Russell Wilson look good again?
No, Russ made some throws.
Mm-hmm. He's replacement not, level or above.
I'm not buying
slightly
them.
Above replacement level. I mean, I think that's fine.
Okay. Well, is Drew Locke going to be the guy that you want to go to, though?
I mean, if you're the Giants, shouldn't you just be stop pretending like you're competing and just steer into the mother bleeping skid?
Yeah, I think this goes back to what we were talking about in Cleveland, though, where sometimes you have head coaches where their hands are tied.
Because ownership, as we all saw during Hard Knocks, Saquon's our most valuable player. It would be a shame to lose him to the Eagles. Maybe you should have considered that when you gave your not good quarterback all of that money.
Yeah, you go to ownership and the general manager who are tied to Daniel Jones and you say, no, we gotta roll with this guy, because the moment that you give Daniel Jones the hook for Drew Locke, that money that you tied up into him is gone. And that's where you are. I don't think New York is necessarily like this terribly coached team.
No, I think Dayball's fine. I think that they just don't have any requisite talent that matters.
They have tried to improve the offensive line, and they have a little bit. And they tried to go out, they get Malik Nabers. And
who's a dude, and you've got three guys on that front who are dudes. But the secondary is woeful at best. That, like you said,
pass rush is good.
You know, pass rush is great. I mean, fantastic. I mean, the other note coming out of that is their 2023 first round pick corner. He got benched last night for failing to compete.
Did you see Brian Daboll put 12 on the field?
No.
Yeah. Actually, it was a smart move by him. He put 12 on the field because it was second down and three. And it, like, one first down ices it. So he put 12 on the field, gave him the 5 yards for the first down, and then was able to use his two timeouts after that.
Mm.
And they end up getting the ball back. So,
there you go.
Because it was like, when you get that big chunk on that first down, it's like, uh-oh, now we're in trouble on when do we use our timeouts. So you reset the sticks, and then you're back in a situation where you can use your timeouts again. Because he had no faith that they were going to stop them on two downs from 3 yards away. But when you go 10 yards to work with, all right, let's reset it. Now you guys try to make a play, and it's actually a smart move.
That should be something you should be able to decline. Again,
well, they took it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're like, well, all right, first down, we'll take it. All right. But that game, no bueno. That was actually third fiddle on my sports equinox day. Number one for me was the World Series, and obviously you have a World Series. We have championship on the line. That was easy money for me as to what I was going to pick and what I was going to watch. The World Series. I don't care that the Dodgers right now are running away with this thing. You still hang on every pitch because at some point I was watching that game thinking, okay, now this lineup is going to come through for the Yankees. Mm-hmm. Now they're going to put it on them. And they just look dejected at the plate.
I mean, Judge is, goodness gracious. He's 140?
He is... in it. He's just not good outside of the wild card round. That has been who he is. He has had 7 plate appearances with men on base in the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
He has not hit the ball out of the infield.
I saw somebody said
he has not hit it out of the infield. He has struck out 5 times. He has popped out in the infield, and he got on last night with the fielder's choice. He is 0-for-7 with 5 Ks in the ball not leaving the infield with the runner on base.
That's nasty work.
There is struggling, and then there's that
level of hellscape. And as somebody, I saw somebody on Twitter last night say, explain this to me in basketball terms, and they just put up a picture of James Harden. And I was like,
ooh, damn.
Yeah, that's finger to nose. Ding, 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 ding. Well, that's the
actually,
one.
Actually, it might be worse because it's like, he's just playing game 6 James Harden. Like elimination game James
that
Harden.
That was the point.
Through the whole thing. Yeah. He's playing. But James Harden, he can be good games 1 through 5. Yeah. But if it's his game 6, game 7, no. He's
bad.
I feel like we
talked about this last week or maybe the week before about Aaron Judge in like wild card divisional round versus.
No, just wild card.
Was it just wild card? Okay.
Versus every other round. Yeah, yeah. He is not good.
Yeah.
He's not good. Meanwhile, Freddie Freeman, though, is
God.
The MVP. He's the MVP right now. Like, Freddie Freeman is the MVP of the World Series, and it doesn't matter if he doesn't get a damn hit tonight in Game 4. He couldn't get it. If they don't win this series, and by the way, history will tell you that the Dodgers are going to win this series either tonight or tomorrow, because teams down 0-3 in the World Series, they've been swept 21 times, and they've lost in Game 5 3 times.
I've never made it to a Game 6.
Never made it to a Game 6, never made it to a Game 7, obviously.
And there's nothing about this Yankees team, either pitching or hitting or fielding. They've had their own errors on that side of the game as well. They've shown nothing. Like, I hate the Yankees. I wanted this to be good.
Except for Mike Lynch. I'm sorry, Mike Lynch.
Yeah. Mm. But you know what I mean? Like, I wanted this to be a good series. I wanted 2 pitching staffs to get absolutely annihilated. That's what I wanted to see happen.
Well, there's nothing worse than getting to the final series of a season, the championship series, and just having it be a complete disaster.
This is Nuggets Heat 2 years ago.
You guys
ago.
Know the last sweep in the World Series?
I do not.
Oh, God. What was it?
2012. Giants.
Yeah.
Yep.
I do know, according to...
We've had 11 World Series without a sweep.
I do know, according to Swag on his morning updates, that Freddie Freeman has homered in 5 straight World Series games going back to 2021 with Atlanta.
Yep. Back to the Bravos.
My man rakes in the postseason.
That is so cool.
That dude and his chompers.
And those veneers, he paid good money for those.
He and Matt Dillon and Something About Mary.
They get a lot of airtime.
Damn right.
But Freddie Freeman, I saw this.
Rex Ryan's jealous.
Saw this on the broadcast last night. Freddie Freeman, 3 home runs, 7 RBI, 4 extra base hits, no strikeouts. The New York Yankees, 2 home runs, 5 RBIs, 3 extra base hits, 23 strikeouts.
So, yeah.
He is outperforming.
The entire team.
Yeah. Freddie Freeman just versus the Yankees, he would be winning.
And that's what I mean. Like, this hasn't even been close. I mean, you had the game set up extra innings. But the second Freddie hit that ball, that might have been it. That might have been such a demoralizing grand slam.
Yeah.
That might have, that one swing of the bat might have ended the entire series. That might have just taken literally every ounce of life out of them.
Dang.
It's so crazy. But again, Sports Equinox, we had them all going on in the studio last night, just kind of popping back and forth, and you just kind of lean over like, oh, Dodgers are going again. And then that, good God, that football game was... Look, we'll talk about the Blazers later. Also, not a good game. Just because we had so much sports on last night, it was fun to kind of bathe in it. But a lot of not good sports.
Yep. Yep.
Well, that'll happen on a night that the Trailblazers play, right?
He's not wrong.
Sorry. Yeah.
And in what wrong. You'll hear me say probably like 70 more times this season, ball didn't go in hoop.
Yeah, ball didn't go in hoop. I'm thrilled for the Dodgers, though. And sad night for New York on Sports Equinox. Knicks lose, Giants lose, Yankees lose.
Oh, yeah, hate to see it. Remember a couple weeks ago when they were talking about how New York was on the up and they were celebrating on Philly? Hate to see it.
Well, I think even their MLS team lost like in the playoffs as well last night. Yeah.
Did that happen?
Yeah. Again, according to my favorite morning show on my drive-in.
Couldn't happen to a worse fan base other than L.A. I mean, the only other thing that would have made me happier is if this was all L.A. teams, right? Like if it was the Lakers lose, the Dodgers lose, the Rams lose. And
Clippers.
Then, yeah. Like just have them all lose. I don't care.
Y'all suck.
I'm okay with that.
All right. I was watching World Series, though, and then I watched the Blazer game. And let's talk about that Blazer game.
I'm sorry.
Some of us are contractually obligated to watch said Blazer game.
Oh, boy.
I'm not one of those.
Yeah. It had my mini monitor. It had the mini monitor. That was tough. That was tough.
Needed a bigger screen?
3 points. More than 2 points.
Indeed.
We'll do the math on that after us. Blazers lost last night. They know the assignment. They lose 111-98 to the Sacramento Kings.
It's not a feature, it's a bug. I'm sorry, it's not a bug, it's a feature.
It's not a bug, it's a feature. Yeah.
Yep.
But last night was one of the ones where you go, all right, after two solid outings, where I think that what you wanted to see against the Pelicans was competitive, fun to watch. They split those two games. You saw a team that they're still watchable.
Yeah, it's just the first half was an absolute abomination, and the third quarter was one deciding quarter. And this is going to be in
but it was an abomination in the first half for both sides.
Oh yeah, no, and it was abomination for the NBA.
It was an ugly. That was two teams just mucking it up.
32 free throws in the first half. And DeMar DeRozan had 10 in the first 16 minutes. And that's disgusting. And, we this has already become a trend, and people are already rightfully pissed off about it. Because post-trade deadline last season, refs got out of basketball, and the basketball was the best we had seen in probably 15, 20 years.
It truly was.
The physicality returned. You didn't have these fake games. They weren't taking forever. It wasn't there was 4 or 5 instances in the first 6 minutes of the game where I'm just dumping expletives in the sports office at K2 last night because of how soft and ridiculous these calls were. And I'm like, come on, what are we doing? We got rid of this. Stop, Dick. There was one where DeMar DeRozan, I think they breathed on him. And it's just like, what?
I thought the good call that they made was Tumani Kamara put his forearm in the back of the dude's head.
Oh, yeah.
That was a good call.
I mean, that's a good call. Yeah, that one's fair. But for the free throw rate is up 21%. And I'm not talking over year over year. I'm talking about the beginning of last year when it was still high. So it's even up above that. So, yeah, refs need to chill the bleep out. It's bad. The bigger issue for Portland is they started 0 of 12, 1 of 13 from 3. I mean, Ant had looks, Jeremy had looks, Two had looks, Denny had looks, and it's just, and this is the thing you're going to get so tired of me saying this. It is a math problem, and they have a math problem. Not only do they only make 4, which is problematic, the bigger issue when you're looking at about all 82 games is they only got up 22 threes. Because let's say they take 18 more. Let's say they get up to 40. What happens if they get hot? What happens if they hit 8 of those, you know, 18 threes? How different does the game get? And the thing is, when you stop shooting them, because you could see it happen. You could see 2 got a great look in the corner early in the game, rimmed out.
What we saw last year in long stretches was
2 possessions later.
There was a point last year where he would just hide himself in the corner. And he would stop moving, wouldn't work for the ball, and would refuse to shoot. Yeah.
Denny, you can see the frustration building on his face when he shoots. He took 4 threes last night, which I think is good volume for him. But he's just got to find something, man. He's got to find that.
This is not a surprise to anybody, because
his team was built.
This is a team that lacks shooters. Yeah. You're big, you don't have shooting.
Yeah, and the thing was, they got downhill. They got to the rim. They damn near doubled the Kings up in the paint. But you have to nearly triple them up to offset that bad of shooting from 3.
Look, I realize we're in super small sample size theater here, but 6% from 3 through 4 games?
What's that?
What?
For Denny.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the team. No.
The team is not.
I mean, for Denny.
He's 1 of 15, right?
Yep.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's the thing. Last year, you saw Denny show improvement from the corners. And shooting above the break has always been, like, poor for him. He's, like, a 31% above the break three-point shooter. And you're hoping is that the confidence builds with volume. And that's, without getting into the nuts and bolts of it, I've talked to very intelligent people with PhDs in computational science who work in the NBA.
All right, well, you just eliminated me there.
But it's no longer about how good of a shooter somebody can be. If you can be like the requisite level, like if you can get to like 35%, basically if you're not taking open threes, you're doing it wrong. Because what ends up happening is if as volume increases, you increase as a shooter. And then if you want to take a look at it, something like for that locally, look at Matisse Thybulle. Doc Rivers literally told Matisse to not shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And it screwed with him. He got here and he got empowered and he looks like a capable three-point shooter. From a guy who couldn't shoot to capable. I'm not saying he's great, but is he like a 35.5%, 36% three-point shooter, which is like league average? Yes, that's better than 28%, which is what he was in Philly. And so you have to get to the volume. And that's the thing is, 2 can't hitch. Chris Murray can't hitch. Jeremy needs to be getting more shots up than he did last night from 3.
Well, having a guy make more than a 3 would be very, very helpful. This is miserable to talk about.
No, it is.
Wait, are you trying to tell me that shooting hoops accurately helps you win games?
Yeah, that sure does.
Yeah.
But if we talk about what this season is focused on, though, Scoot Henderson, Donovan Klingon, I think those are the two people that everybody kind of wants to see growth, improvement in what they can do. I mean, Scoot isn't a guy that you're going to rely on to shoot threes, but it kind of looks like over the last few games, like 3 games now in a row, he's looking more comfortable yes. in his skin as a player.
What I said last night, I'll say it here again. If these first four games of this season was how he started his rookie year last year,
yeah.
the perception about him would be a lot different. And I think part of this is he, I don't like beating it up, but I think the G League Ignite was a miserably failed experiment.
So bad.
And I think it set every single one of those guys back. And you're seeing it, like Manus Bouzelis and Ron Holland have looked horrendous to start. Jalen Green took 3 years to figure it out. Like, you just go down the list. It's great for those guys to get paid.
Yeah.
Like, I understand. I'm not saying the coaching was bad. I'm not saying that the players are bad. I just think the way that that was set up did not optimize their development.
No, it was hero ball the entire time.
Yeah, and I just think it's a lot like some of these college teams when they bring in like five recruits. It's like, how do you feed every mouth?
Well, in playing basketball without elite bigs or great bigs is a very counterproductive to growth and development.
And where winning doesn't matter.
That is where the G League is at, right? Like, the best bigs did not go to the G League.
No.
There were better bigs playing college basketball
yes.
than in the G League. Because if you're a competent and good big, you're not playing in the G League. You're on an NBA roster, and they will hide you on the bench.
They'll two-way you. And then you're just gonna, like, if you're 7 foot tall, you're on an NBA roster. Like, you just don't see many 6'9 plus bigs. Like, you see the Kenny Loftons and the David Roddies. Like, you see these guys, like, God, if you were 6'10,
yep.
you'd be on an NBA roster. Like, that's the thing. It's that, and so that, I think, limits it. But if you want to look for, and this is where, you know, some people say I'm, you know, carrying water, but look, I'm doing this for my own sanity. I can't talk about how bad this team plays over the course of 82 games.
That's why I pivoted. I was like, this is so miserable.
No, I can't do this. I'm just setting the table for, like, this is how the season's going to go. If Jeremy and Ant aren't hitting threes, the rest of this is going to be bad. Like,
yep.
That's just the reality. Because on one night, Denny will hit threes. On one night, Scoot will. On one night, Two will. Like, those guys will supplement. But if Ant and Jeremy aren't going, it's going to be rough. But yeah. as far as Scoot's concerned, it hasn't been perfect. But you have seen blips. Whereas last year, you didn't really see blips until the end of the season when stuff didn't matter.
You didn't see it at all in the beginning.
The first 20 games were just... It was,
and then he got hurt, yeah. and then...
It was brutal. It was. Like, to be entirely fair to the kid, it's just, he was not good. But also, you know, G League Ignite. But I think you saw last night, and what I'm really interested in is tomorrow, is against the Clippers with Zubac in the middle of the paint, because Zu was the guy who destroyed him opening night last year. Remember how bad he looked with Zubac just gobbling him up at the rim over and over again. He bothered him again in Seattle a couple weeks ago. He's done well against the Pelicans at times with smaller lineups. He did well against the Kings last night in certain situations. They don't have a real rim protector. I love Sabonis as a player, not a rim protector. Alex Len, he's long, not a great rim protector. But you saw Scoot show the athleticism and burst going to his right, going to his left, and finishing strong and generating free throws. Little loose with the ball and some passes, but he was trying to create for others. And even if he's making the right decision, or the graduation is this. He went from not making the right decision last year and spraying passes all over the place because he had 60% of his turnovers were of bad pass. Yeah. Yeah, that's a lot. Which is kind of crazy when you consider, like, he's a good passer. But now he's just not understanding where guys are. And now he's getting a better understanding of where guys are or where they will be. And you can see, the only thing is, he's just a beat behind.
Yep.
He takes the dribble maybe a step too far or waits a second too long. And then when he does, the accuracy of the pass is, there's leaving some to be desired. But again, you're seeing the decision-making and the plan and the execution. It's not nailed down, but it's at least, like, you know, you've got it up there, and you don't need to have somebody else hold it up there while you're driving the nails in. So it's you're getting there.
May I say that I'm looking forward to a new nickname for Scoot Henderson, and this came from a quote that I heard on Dirt and Sprague.
Hee-hee, Magic Johnson.
I want to go with Hee-hee Henderson.
Little hee-hee. I like that.
Hee-hee, Magic Johnson.
That came after his, like, over-the-head pass to somebody for a bucket the other night.
He had the behind-the-back and then lobbed to Jabari Walker for the end of the first, at the very end of the first quarter. That was pretty. Do you see that? Drove to
no,
the rim.
Yeah,
drove to
the
rim, picked
did,
it up, went behind
did,
his back with his left hand, got around and flicked it over his shoulder to Jabari for
I
a little
saw
floater.
The highlight. Didn't see it live.
Okay, yeah, no, I'm like, and you're like that, but the exciting plays, that's what he was supposed to be. It's like,
Magic Johnson.
Yeah, that. Mm-hmm. And they're neat, like, for me, for him to be successful, it's not just like the actual hard skills, it's the soft skills. Like, I want to see a little Jason Williams in him. Like, I want to see him put a little show on, a little razzle dazzle. Like, that's part of what, that's, when I talk about the energy from Scoot, that's, it's more about that stuff
yeah.
and finding lobs and, like, exciting plays. That's where he brings the juice. So, if you're looking for, like, you had to squint last night, but if you're looking for, like, the little silver linings on any given night, there's your little taster.
Little movement in the National Football League, next on The Fan. The Baltimore Ravens have made a trade. They have acquired Deontay Johnson from the Carolina Panthers. And
for the football equivalent of a broken jugs machine.
Well, I think they have broken wide receivers. I don't know if anybody caught that game. But did you see the throw where, who was it that he was throwing? I think he was throwing to Rashad Bateman.
Mm-hmm.
Lamar Jackson uncorked one, and Bateman was wide open. I think the sun got in his eyes. I haven't seen him say anything about that.
You hope.
It went through his hands, off his chest, hit his helmet, mm-hmm. incomplete. He was wide open. And the Ravens said, all right, well, looks like we need to make a move. And they get Deontay Johnson from the Carolina Panthers for a pick swap. The NFL's trade values are a little bit different in season. Deontay Johnson in a contract year, so this is a truly a rental. So what Carolina gets is they get Baltimore's fifth-round pick, and the Ravens get Deontay Johnson and the Panthers' sixth-round pick. That's a bargain.
Mm.
Even if Deontay Johnson is a headache that people are going to be like, good riddance, you know, Pittsburgh. Did not seem sad that he left.
No.
Or did not seem sad to see him go. Carolina, things
also
melt down very, very quickly. They're losing all the way around. They are saying, though, I love this, not a fire sale. Not a fire sale going on in Carolina right now.
Well, yeah, because there's nothing that you want.
Chuba Hubbard and J.C. Horn, not available, guys.
Congratulations. Two players.
Wink, wink.
Yeah, but I mean,
bye, Adam Thielen.
This is not even a fire sale. It's a swap meet. You're just kind of like walking by, like,
well, that's kind of how they're treating it right now.
I'll give you $5.
Yeah. The thing that I find interesting is that Baltimore's saying, yeah, you know what? We need more offense. I don't know. Maybe they should shore up that defense side of the ball. Maybe make a bigger swing on that side of the ball, because that seems to be the issue. You're going to have, but if they're saying we have to score 30 every game, well,
I guess
Deontay Johnson may help that.
This is the leaning into the skid, as it were.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Of like, hey, you know what? There's really nothing we can do to make our defense better outside of like really expending capital. But what if we could make our offense a gear better and it doesn't really cost us much? Hell, it doesn't actually cost us a dollar because the Panthers are going to pay Deontay's salary.
Did you see John Harbaugh's quote from yesterday
Mm-mm.
about their defense? He said, I'm going to exhaust all of our options and all of our resources on figuring out this defense. We will figure out we're going to do everything we can to figure out what's going on defense. Which is far different than the Lincoln Riley quote at USC of, I don't know what's going on late in games. I don't know what the problem is. That, by the way, the Lincoln Riley closing practices, like, that's going to do him anything?
Literally went the wrong way.
He is checking every box on how to get people not on his side.
I'm just like, what are you doing, you colossal idiot? It is frustrating.
Harbaugh, though, is committed to it. Another NFL note. Texans receiver Stephon Diggs out for the season as feared, torn ACL, man. Damn. That sucks.
Yeah, I mean, when you see somebody go to the ground
non-contact yeah.
Which do not Google Taylor Hendricks injury.
Don't. Yeah. I'm trying to avoid it. I'm glad on this one you're like, no, let me, because usually we'll be like, oh, I'm going to show you, and you swing that monitor around.
Well, I mean, this one,
I don't want to see this.
This one's really bad.
Is this Kevin Ware bad?
Yeah, it's really bad.
What's, what, Louisville?
Broken fibula and dislocated ankle,
yeah,
I believe.
The dislocated ankle led to the broken fibula. His ankle dislocates, and his leg bone literally slides backward. It has nothing to push against, and it snaps.
Okay,
like,
why didn't you describe it that thoroughly? Because now my butthole has officially puckered up.
Well, that is the fibula, non-weight-bearing bone, and when you dislocate your ankle, you got to put some weight on it. It breaks real easily. That's gross. That's nasty. All right. Ew.
Yeah. Ugh. He's bad.
Jazz, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Was first round pick last year.
Yeah. The high, like, development profile as a prospect.
Development's going to take a while.
Yeah, he's probably going to be out for like 14 to 16 months.
Oof. I mean, brutal.
I mean, when you have those two injuries, yeah.
That sucks.
The amount of damage and repair and everything, like that's like a relearn how to walk situation.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
So, I don't like
not it. That I know anything about that one.
Don't like that at all. All right. Well, Dan Lanning is talking about the matchup. Oregon going to the Big House for the first time since 2007, where Dennis Dixon, the fake Statue of Liberty, prance on into the end zone. Dan Lanning addressed the Michigan Wolverines, and we got some audio from Coach Lanning that I think speaks volumes to where this Michigan team is at. Danny Dusty on the Fan. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.